The National Football League originated in the 1920s in rural America, then moved to the cities to flourish and prosper. But each summer, the game relives its heritage. Tiny college towns across the country witness the first bloom of the NFL season.
We are getting to our Hard Knocks era of our lives, which will be very exciting. I think we might all be in it in terms of, like, you're standing on the field.
You're getting your poses ready for watching practice. The fingers under the chin, maybe, as the look.
I'm going to go through the clipboard. That'll make it look like I'm a lot more intense.
He's just drawing a train.
You know what?
The whole
time.
Just, it's a doodle of a train.
That's right. Doodling. We both have to have clipboards so then we can consult next to each other.
And then you point to, like, mine with a pen as you're, like...
We turn and we just high five. Good morning. Happy Camp Week. Jeremy and Joe.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Forgot clipboards.
We got to get some clipboards. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, brought to you by Fiegel Car and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Jeremy and Joe welcoming in Mike Catalano, which is a tradition here at training camp. We're always welcoming you. I feel like we do day one every time, too. Mike Catalano, WHAM and Buffalo Plus YouTube Sports Director. Welcome back. Another season. Always honored to have you here.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, for us, for myself, Dan Fates, Jenna Cottrell, who cover the team all the time, to not drive down the thruway to come to lovely Buffalo and Orchard Park, it's nice. For me, I walk across the street.
Nice.
Literally live across the street. So it's everybody's in our neighborhood these few weeks. We love having it here, and we look forward to it every year.
Different camp than some others because of Hard Knocks. Maybe the irony is that it's a Hard Knocks camp, and yet is it the least dramatic camp possible?
Yeah, I love having the Hard Knocks here, people. You know, Pat Harris, the guy who is the director, is a Rochester guy, and he's a Bills fan. We had him on the podcast, and he said it's great to be able to, like, everybody knows he's a Bills fan, and he's covering this event. And I've watched Hard Knocks all the time, and I've covered – this is my 38th training camp.
Right. Let's go.
And
is that the leader of the clubhouse, you and Sal?
So Sal is there. So we always talk about it. Sal Majorana was not full-time on the beat, but he had covered some games. So, look, we're almost the exact same age. Almost. He's actually, if you can believe it, he's actually a little younger than me. It's hard for me to believe. But we've covered it, and you look at the difference. But when I watch Hard Knocks, what I find cool is when they take you places you haven't been, even for somebody who covers it, I can't wait to see the first episode.
Yeah.
Yes, I will be doing the same thing. You wait for the pose. I think nodding is important when you're on camera, if you think
nodding.
It is. You look like you got this a little bit. So it's a little nod, like, oh, yeah, I got it. But when I watch on August 5th, the first one, we're going to see stuff we don't see with this team, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I feel like everyone should be practicing their slow-motion walk. Allen had a good slow-mo walk in yesterday when he arrived.
Yeah.
So, Mike – all right, what are we looking for at this camp here today? I mean, today, the weeks going forward, we were talking about position battles, and there aren't that many. I feel like it comes down to, for position battles, two young players, Max Harrison and Cole Bishop.
Yeah.
Those are the primary two?
Yes, because both of those guys, I think, need to be starters. Need to be. I asked Bobby Babich during the offseason about his expectations for Bishop, and he pushed away from it. He said, they have higher expectations than we do for them. I agree with all that in coach speak, but you drafted this guy, talented player, to play. And last year, you know, was limited. And when he was out there, he got hurt. And when he wasn't on the field, I think they're set up to have him be the starter. You know, they've got DeMar there waiting because DeMar, they trust. And it's a big thing with them, especially at safety. I think he's got to start, and I think they absolutely – want the number one pick to be that guy and ready to start. And I think they're going to have to go out and prove that here at camp. Earn it, but prove it. And we've seen it happen before. Look on the other side at corner. Talk about proving it. Not only was it a rookie starting, it was a rookie getting the first reps ahead of the number one pick. So meritocracy does work, but they're going to have to earn it in order to play, and I think that's key.
Yeah, and at corner, Tre'Davious White, it means so much to the locker room and the organization. I wonder I wonder if that will be a 50-50 battle right out of the gates, or whether they'll give the rookie the first lead at that, or respect to Tre'Davious White, that they would maybe have him out of the gates. Like, safety, I feel like Bishop gets the first team reps or is getting that opportunity right away, and it's his to lose. I wonder if that's the same for Hairston.
Well, you got a big difference there, right? Because right. You have a legendary former number one pick, Sean's first draft pick, right? And then on the other side, you have the kid they're hoping to be that, and you want him to earn it, and he's a rookie. I mean, big difference between that and Bishop. I mean, Bishop did have a whole year, and so they've seen him through that period of time. But, yeah, I am – it's funny. As you get older, people think it's more, like, sentimental about things. I'm not really that way when it comes to football. I love the game. I love covering it. I respect the players so much. So I hate seeing what the Cowboys do, even though I don't like the Cowboys. Yeah. I don't think they even respect their own players. It's a weird dynamic.
They don't talk like it.
It's really tough. Like,
yeah.
To hear the way they talk about the Parsons and – I mean, it is
tough.
He
takes a shot at Dak and while talking about Parsons.
It's like they don't like it. Yeah. And everybody loves Trey. But if this was another team, like last year when Trey was on other teams, I think it would be looked at differently. But I think they do have that respect. And there's nothing wrong with him getting the first snaps, going that way, and then seeing that rookie earn his way to it. But listen, if they would tell the truth, I don't know if they would, they absolutely want Max Hairston to win that job and to be playing and then get it going starting in week one. And then we see where Trey is. Everybody wants that to be the case, but we don't know how he's going to play. He might play great. Then you're like, that's a tough problem to have, right? Because you have too many good corners.
Yeah.
Let's see how he plays.
It'll be interesting about Tre'Davious White. I can think back to a previous camp being here, watching him ride the bike where we're waiting for him to come back. And his return from his injury took a lot longer than a lot of guys do. And when we finally found out about his battle through that, it was an emotional battle for him, how hard it was to be away from the game. And now he's here and he's back where, you know, he made his entire career. It feels like he's been gone for 5 years.
Yeah.
He's only been gone for a year.
Yeah, because he played so little towards the end. He was different, though. He was awesome during the spring talking to everybody. I think he's freed up from that. I think coming back here makes him feel more at home. And I asked Sean then about competition. And it's great to say Trey's more of a mentor and he's this. But he still got it in him, right, to say, I'm not letting this rookie beat me out. And I want to see that, Adam. Not that he wouldn't compete, but I want to see that, Adam. I think we'll see it. And if he's playing that well, there's nothing wrong with even you know, giving some reps to both, even during the year, right? Even at the beginning of the season. But I think it's got to be. I think Hairston is so important to what they
want
to do.
Well, really, because you mentioned like wanting, they might want him to win that job. They probably do want him to win that job. It's what can you do with that skill set if he's shown you that you can trust him. I mean, that's kind of been the theme of their offseason. Michael Hoyt can do all these different things. He's a chess piece, and now they've got three linebackers that are all playable. They can do different formations with that. And Hairston, I mean, Tre'Davious White's in an age where the athletic profile's just not the same. Hairston was the fastest player at the combine. If they can trust him, I mean, that's a man coverage speed corner that they really haven't had anything close to that to play with in a while.
Yeah, and that's what's going to hopefully for them change the defense. Look, we talk about this defense and the failures of the defense, but sometimes you got to look at the overall talent level of the defense. You know what I look at? I look at the guys who've left, who've gone, right? And, you know, maybe Rasul's on a roster. And Von, he is this mythical figure because he's Von Miller. But he wasn't on a roster until now. And then you got, you know, guys like Austin Johnson and Jordan Phillips. Like, a lot of the guys who played a lot of snaps last year weren't even on rosters. I think the talent level just wasn't there. You bring in Max Hairston, he has the ability. Well, I think it's pretty clear. Then the question is building him up. And then the point is, when are you comfortable enough to say, this kid's got to play? Because Trey played, right? Mm-hmm. And Christian Benford played.
Yep.
And look at where they ended up at the top of their game, where I think Benford can even go up from this. So, yeah, I think you need that talent level up. And then the hope is all these other guys you brought in can play, because you mentioned the guy suspended.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brutal here. Six games without two guys that would without question be either starters or very much in major reps.
Mike Catalano sitting with us here at St. John Fisher at training camp here. One position I feel like we've only started to talk about in the last week is linebacker, because Matt Milano's played 9 games in 2 years and his contract got redone, so now he's a UFA at the end of the year. And talking about it with Sal, he thinks the Bills are very much thinking he's healthy, he's the guy, he's still the man. And I find myself, all right, I'm ready to see that. I'm going to want to see that because he's played so sparingly, it's hard to really envision him being at his full powers, but maybe he will be.
Yeah, he definitely showed flashes of that when he came back, and especially, you know, into the playoffs. But you can't, we can't trust that, you know, and they can't trust that he's going to be out there every game. And Dorian Williams has, again, you talk about physical, we were talking about on a podcast, is he the best athlete on the team? Certainly would be up there, right? He can do all those things. It's about being in the right place and making the right time. Again, I think they go into it saying, this is the guy we think Milano can be again for us. And then you say, if he's not, you have another player there. Then you do worry about the depth, but I'm going to tend to think more about the high end that linebacker group can be if all three of those guys can stay on the field. And maybe you mix in snaps. Maybe you don't beat Milano up all year and get Dorian a lot of snaps, which is what I think they'd like to do.
How do you feel about the Joey Bosa signing and then how that's developed? I mean, he got the injury. Maybe that's okay by today. He's not on any list right now.
Yeah, look, I like the signing. It's a one-year deal and with, you know, some little void years. But that's what you got to do in this league. And I like the high end of him, and I think if he's healthy. I hear people say, bubble wrap him, get him ready for the playoffs. It's not the way the league works. He's going to play. But that doesn't mean you got to beat him up all year. But in order to do that, you got to have other guys that can step in and play. It's easy to say, oh, you know, load management on these guys until you're in the third quarter of a game against the Jets and you're only up by 3 and you need somebody to get to the quarterback, right? It's what you paid him for, and then the hope is there. And with this team, that's what makes it so interesting. It's like it's easy to just take ourselves and put them in the championship game down by 3. What's going to happen, right? Because they've done this and been there. But it's a hell of a lot of stuff you got to do between now and then to get there. And I think they're going to expect that out of Bosa. But they're also going to be smart because of what he's gone through. You know, and let's see him. We haven't seen him on the field. I saw him doing work on the side. Let's see if he's healthy and what he can do once the season starts.
Yesterday, the NFL insiders gave a little bit of a watch potential hold-in scenario for James Cook. I don't know that there's any sort of reading of the tea leaves there. You anticipate he's going to be full go, ready to rock?
Yeah, he surprised me at the mandatory camp. Not just that he was there, because that to me is a little easier one to just show up and stand there and watch. It's a couple of days. It's basically the same as the other camps. This would be something to stand to the side and not work with your teammates. That ramps up any conversations they're going to have. Either ramps it up or closes them off, because the team's going to have their own thought of what that is. He's going to want to be here, which I totally get. He should be here for his money, because he doesn't want to get fined. But at the same time, we don't know where they are in any negotiations. They may eventually, I mean, they could redo his deal, but when you talk about comp picks, I think that eliminates that. If you do away with that contract and sign him to a new one, and then he does get bumped up this year, is he worth more than what he's making this year? Yeah, of course. But this is the way contracts work. So I think in an ideal world, He plays great, and if somebody wants to pay him a lot more at the end of the year, you wish him good luck and go that way. I don't know if they will, but Brandon Bean could come on later today and say we just signed him to a 3-year deal, and we'd be surprised.
So. Would you be comfortable? Do you think that Bean would do that, would pay a running back? I look at the top teams in the league, and they use running back as a finishing piece.
Yep.
And to me, the Bills are a team that could absolutely do that and view Cook in that same way.
Yeah, because you look back at the championship game, like that play he made to get in the end zone is what we've wanted out of players, right? It's what we were waiting for Stephon Diggs to do when he was here in a big moment, and he didn't do. And Dalton Kincaid had that opportunity, different, but an opportunity to do it. He is a playmaker that this team – and I'm not talking about regular season numbers and how everything goes. I'm talking about in the biggest moments in the biggest games. He showed up. So did Mac Hollins, actually. Yeah. But he showed up and was a playmaker. And I think when you pay – I mean, it's funny, you guys. When we talk about numbers, I mean, Gabe made, what, $15 million last – $13
million 13,
last year? Because I know he's a wide receiver. It's to me, it's about, yes, position, but – I'd be very comfortable with them paying him $11 million for the next 3 years. I think he would be really good for them. But I don't know what he thinks. Maybe he thinks he'll get a lot more on the open market.
A lot's been made of the receiver position. Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, Keon Coleman, you know, Khalil Shakir returning. I think the group is almost consensus better than this time last year, where it's MVS and Chase Claypool. And, you know, now you've got probably a group that is established. How will it be different, if it will, in your eyes?
Yeah, I think it will see, because it was very different than we didn't know what to think last year with the guys who were here. And you're wondering, like you said, like Claypool is one, MVS, and they were nothing. They did nothing here. And then you saw that, you know, rise of Shakir. I think Shakir's got another notch to go up. I don't know how high, but I just think he does so many things well. If he has some speed with him, I think that would open things up even more for him. But we'll see how it plays out. I'm like everybody else. I'm really interested in seeing what Palmer can do. I think his skill set could help them a lot. But again, I would say it comes back to, you look at the playoffs and you watch those games and who makes plays for them. It would be great to make life a little, there's no law about making it a little easier for 17, as great as he is. It's easy to just go. I watched the championship game. Why I watched it, I've watched it like 2 times over the summer. Mm-hmm. And they put up points. But, man, it was a lot of, like, Josh running, doing something on fourth down, mm-hmm. making a play. It was – there's no law that says it can't be an easy throw and an easy yeah. catch in 20 yards. Let's see a little bit more of that. Maybe Elijah Moore is that guy. I don't know. We'll see.
I think about their last couple possessions in that game a lot. They have the ball and the lead, and they're needing the fourth down. Like, they're needing stuff like that because the offense really couldn't do much outside of, like, 5 yards.
Yeah.
It was an extended run game yep. for the entire fourth quarter, and that's where, you know, the GM can say it was the defense. We didn't lose because of our receivers. Better ones would have helped, and I do think they have better ones.
So you look back at the guys who have made plays, and it's not always everybody looks at the Chiefs and says it's Kelce. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was MVS against the Bills, right? And then he did it again the next week a couple years ago, right? You see other players. I think back to, like, it's not always the numbers and the yards. Eventually, it's the points. I think back to that Lions game mm-hmm. and the play, you know, what Dawson Knox made, over-the-head catch. I know that didn't win the game, but it was big.
Yeah.
The Lions had gotten back in it, and it's making a play to make life easier for Josh Allen when somebody steps up. That's what they're going to need, and maybe one of these players is thought of more that way. But you're right. The end of that game, even though they were moving the first drive, it was a struggle.
Yeah, and what that all might come down to is chemistry, because Shakir has it with Allen. Kincaid, those two have not really – they had it year one, but that's a lot of short throws. Last year, Allen missed Kincaid a lot. They're just kind of not on the same page. And whether that's a chemistry that comes out with maybe Josh Palmer, maybe Elijah Moore, to me, whoever it is that emerges is the one that Allen feels like he can trust the most, or that however they mind meld, they just get something on the same page, because he needs somebody outside of Shakir and the backs for that, to me.
Yeah, you're right, because that's the way he would look. And listen, I want to see Kincaid succeed, because they set it up for him to be that player. And it reminds me a little bit of the way they talked about Spencer Brown. He was hurt, and there was issues. Yeah. He was coming out of COVID, yeah. and then it was he's small school. Like, and listen,
exactly
we always
that.
Talk about reasons and excuses. I think it bordered on excuses, but then Spencer Brown came back and was much,
yes.
much better and has been really good. And I hear that for Kincaid. I'm like, well, okay, this is the NFL. It's like talking about Keon being young. When Josh is back there looking to throw, he doesn't care your age. He cares if I'm going to be trusting you and throwing you the ball. And I give Keon credit for owning that. Oh, nobody cares my age. Same with Kincaid. I know he was banged up. His teammate said that, but he needs to be better. He and Josh on the same page. And I think that falls on, obviously it falls in some way on both of them. But that's going to be a huge part of what they do.
That Spencer Brown call-out's a great one, because it was very much like, yeah, I've heard this all before. You guys always like players. And then, yeah. bang. Oh, okay. Oh, extended. Oh, he's one of the top three right tackles
yeah.
in the sport. Like, it,
yeah.
the glow-up on Spencer Brown was legitimate.
And yeah. there was issues, but at some point in this league, no one cares. And they'll show it, too, because at the end of this year, and here we are, first day at camp.
Fifth-year option.
They got to be making that decision. It's a first-round pick, and it's a big decision to make. So let's see how it plays out.
Yep. Mike, thanks, as always. Red helmet thoughts? You excited, happy, whatever?
Yeah. It does bring back, you know, I'm looking at, I mean, I covered all those games. It feels like a different, it was a different time in the world and everything. I think all that stuff is cool. I think it's great. I think it gets people excited. And, you know, it's funny. This team has a history of them wanting to change helmets to help Joe Ferguson back in the day. It's different now. And Josh wearing it at the open practice, was that 2 years ago that he wore the red helmet?
That was 2 years ago because I think he wore a blue one last year.
Yeah, so he does that kind of stuff. All that stuff is cool. If people are into it, some people aren't. I think as long as they stay away from the uniforms that they debuted here, and I emceed the thing with T.O. the day they did the USFL uniforms.
Yeah.
Still the worst. Just anything. Just stay. They never have to throw back to those things. Throw out
and
throw back.
They
Other than
don't.
That, I think it's cool. Go ahead. Let's see how it looks.
Yeah.
Who finishes in second in the AFC East and how many games behind?
All right. I don't know if it's a hot take. I have the Jets finishing second.
Ooh. All right. That, you know what?
It is. I think it has to because okay. I don't think I've heard anybody say that.
Yeah. So I look at it this way. I think the Patriots have done a lot of things and Vrabel's there and all this. And they're in that mode a little bit of we've got the young quarterback and him building up. And we don't know how good Drake May is going to be, and he's got some weapons and all that. I think the Jets still have talent. They were a team with no focus. Mm-hmm. I think they have acted like a professional franchise this offseason. They have signed talented players. I don't know how good he's going to be at quarterback, but I think they look at him differently, and he might look at himself differently. He doesn't have to be great. He's got to be really good. And to show he can be a starter in this league, I don't know why. I think Miami, I've got Miami fourth in the division. I think they're going to fall apart, and I think everybody's going to get fired there. And I think it'll be between those two, and I think they're going to be in that, honestly, both in that 8-9 win range, New England and the Jets. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not normally hot take guy, but I'm going to say Jets second place.
All right. Aaron Glenn is giving off similar vibes to Vrabel. Like, like last year, New England was this too. Like, it didn't feel very professional, and he's coming in and, like, no nonsense. There was the details of the Rodgers meeting. And he feels like he's trying to do what Vrabel's trying to do in New England.
Yeah, so, he is. Yeah. And, you know, Vrabel's been a head coach.
Right.
It didn't go so well later, you know, in Tennessee, right? But they had some issues too. And listen, it's the Jets. So the Jets will find a way to jet, but I just feel like close race between those two.
Mike Catalana on YouTube at Buffalo Plus. If you're watching us here on the YouTube stream, we got maybe a career high number of viewers for you.
Oh, well,
for live training camp. So go to Buffalo Plus, subscribe to their page, check all their great Bills content out. You guys do great work. And thanks again, as always, for joining us here. We'll see you on the field.
Anytime, guys.
Mike Catalana, WHAM and Buffalo Plus YouTube Sports Director. Jeremy and Joe live from training camp. Back in a moment. Sean McDermott live at 9:15 here on WGR.
Nah, but I'm gonna talk to him. You know, I just thought as a whole, like, you know, everyone's situation is different. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, I'm here for my teammates. You know, I'm not here to please another grown man. I'm here for them. You know, I want to be here with Trey, watch him rehab, watch him get on the field, watch his growth. I want to be here battling with Terrence Steele. Like, I'm here for these guys. I'm not here for him. End of the day, he's on the field with us. You know, we're on the field playing the games and things like that. So I'm going to just control my teammates, keep boosting it. You know, we're just going to keep playing together.
Micah Parsons there with Jane Slater. Post-practice interview, Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. And Jerry Jones comments, like, he's alienating his own players, and it's kind of rough. We'll get some calls here. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. Training camp coverage brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connerson Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
Very quickly on Dallas, I got something that could be considered a let's get stupid on them. I heard a take yesterday about Dallas. Is it possible? Because what Jerry Jones ends up paying these guys at the end of it, right?
Yep.
He actually costs himself because by buying time, and not paying Prescott or CeeDee Lamb early. He pays a higher price for them. Is it possible that Jerry Jones is willing to bleed out these situations as long as possible and say, yeah, I'll pay the extra $5 million a year because my team's going to be in the news cycle for every
single
year.
So he's paying for the news cycle?
He's paying for free advertising, yeah. Basically. He's paying to be on First Take.
Okay.
By not paying Micah Parsons, he gets a year of being on TV all the time
and
about
the
Cowboys and Micah Parsons.
Do you want the flip side of that?
What's the flip side of
that? The flip side of that is the Bengals. And the funny let's get stupid take is that the Bengals don't want to pay players because they don't want to win the Super Bowl because they don't want to buy rings. They're too cheap to buy the rings, which is funny. One quick camp update, good. And then we're going to get a couple calls in here. I think I have found the most meaningful camp update where,
okay,
you know, so-and-so is starting with the so with the one. What player and what update could legitimately be the most newsworthy ever on what they're doing on day one of camp? Because I think we have one.
Which player?
Which player? Which player is there at? Oh, all right. That says something.
About what they're doing.
Yep. A unique circumstance where, okay.
Like Aaron Rodgers?
Nope. I'll just give it to you.
Yeah.
What color is Travis Hunter wearing?
Oh, duh.
Is he starting?
Travis Hunter.
Is he starting with the offense or
right.
the defense?
Right.
He has to win. They have to choose what side. Right?
Well, unless he has two uniforms.
They're going to make him change for drills? Travis Hunter.
You got a penny.
Travis,
give him a penny.
You got to wear white or blue if you're offense or defense.
That's what I mean. They're giving a blue penny and then.
No, they're not going to blue penny him.
And then he can just throw it on when he goes over to play defense.
Anyway, Travis Hunter lining up, working on his release packages and wearing the color of the offense on day one of the camp.
Okay.
So there you go. Travis Hunter.
Maybe today he will wear. Maybe he'll wear the defense and they go back and forth.
If he wears two.
Are we going to be counting the number of days he's in defensive blue versus offensive white or whatever it is?
Yup. Why not, right? 803-0550, you get some calls in here. Rob in Connecticut is on the line with us here from Fisher. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. You know, it wouldn't have felt right if I didn't chime in on this. You know, this is like the greatest day, one of the greatest days of the year. It's like Christmas in July, the best present. Happy first day training camp. You guys are killing it. I always like listening to you. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what this the variety pack of wide receivers we have. I'm looking forward to seeing what Elijah Moore does. I have high hopes for him and also Josh Palmer. But most importantly, I mean, we really focused on the defense during the draft. And I'm hoping that the defense steps up this year. It's very, very beefy on the line and everything, but you guys are killing it. And also, I have to ask, Joe, are you all bundled up? Is it cold there? Are you shivering?
I did
what?
Bundle up. Yeah. Jeremy did not. Yeah. I was nice, warm, and toasty in my little Bills jacket here this morning.
I called Joe out and said it's not football season until he forgets to pack a quarter zip because it can be chilly here in the morning. And we got out of the car. It was 52 degrees, and I was chilly because I
– He didn't have one, I did.
I thought we were a heat wave. I was fine. I was never as cold today as you were last year.
It was freezing last year.
Last year, Joe's doing, like, calisthenics over on the side.
I was.
Like, trying to stay warm, doing jumping jacks in the
I was,
race.
Like, every break I was going into the bathroom, not to go to the bathroom, just to heat up.
Right.
Because it's warmer in there.
Yeah.
It was freezing.
803-0550. Thanks, Rob in Connecticut. Rob in North Tonawanda is next up. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy camp day. Jeremy brought up something about the camp heroes, and I thought of two of them, both former Cardinals. One of them I thought of was Kevin Cobb. Like, we got him, the first year of Marone, I think it was. And
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, they were propping him up every single time he had a good camp, but then all of a sudden, the first preseason game, he gets injured, and I'm like,
he got a real bad concussion. Yeah, really so bad. Cobb had the Matt situation where he hurt his knee, but then he went into Washington, got a very bad concussion. Tyler Dunn wrote about that, I think.
It's a very good story, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember them making him sound like a hero that he came back after the Matt thing. And then the other one was Anquan Boldin. Like, we brought him in, you know, we needed a big-name receiver, first-year McDermott. And then after the first preseason game, he retires. And I'm like, what the heck? Why did he retire? And I'm like, and I thought, you know, we had a decent big-name receiver. And it's like,
Yeah, there's that famous picture. Thanks, Rob. There's that famous picture, he and Sammy Watkins both at a training camp practice, and then neither played for the team that year because they both got traded, right?
Right.
So,
right, and they showcased Watkins, right, in the preseason. Like, they threw to him a lot.
Yeah.
Boldin played in a preseason game, and then by the time they got to the regular season, it was who? Jordan Matthews.
Yeah.
That's who it was, playing receiver.
News yesterday on Matthew Stafford. He's going to miss the start of camp because of back injury.
Right.
Which is scary.
Yeah, a little bit.
If you've got an older quarterback, that is a little scary, dealing with back soreness. They're going to modify his workouts. He'll start training camp, working to the side with trainers. It's a five-day period. Like, they're trying to squeeze one more season out of Stafford. And if he's at the peak of his powers, I think that's a team that could win it. And if he's not, then obviously they're not going to. I mean, something to watch. Something to watch. That was from Jordan Rodriguez yesterday.
Yeah, he is all of it right now. And they aren't they – is that one of those teams that invested in a back – they did. I thought they went after, like, a higher-profile backup. They have Garoppolo.
Okay.
So if they've got to go through a couple of weeks because they think Stafford is so banged up during the regular season, they could throw Garoppolo in there and maybe tread water.
You could have told me Garoppolo retired 5 years ago. I would have believed you. And he's on a roster.
Do you remember where he was last year? Or the year before?
I mean,
name his career since leaving San Francisco.
Since leaving San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo was in. He was in Vegas.
He was in Vegas. He started a game against the Bills, I believe.
All right, great.
With the Raiders, 2023?
Yeah.
I guess he was with the Rams last year.
Okay.
So he went from the Raiders to the Rams. He got suspended last year.
We have a poll up on our YouTube feed. Subscribe to the WGR 550 YouTube channel. Join us on our stream here from St. John Fisher. Like as well. Will James Cook participate in practice today? 87% expecting yes. I thought the number would be like 99%. Like,
yeah.
The insiders have said, keep an eye on this, but I think, yeah, whatever.
I don't know what he's really accomplishing by holding in.
Yep.
I guess that would be my part of it. Like, it's different to me than, like, the Trey Hendrickson situation, who's in year two of a deal, and he's at a position where other guys are getting paid. And
I also think Hendrickson could sit out a full year and come back with more money than he would have just playing. He's scheduled to make 16, and a pass rusher of his caliber is making 35.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we'll see about that. Hey, coming up tomorrow, Sal and Matt Bove are taking It's Always Game Day in Buffalo on the road. Special training camp edition live from Barbill East in Rochester. Join them tomorrow, 7 p.m. at Barbill on Empire Boulevard. Short drive from St. John Fisher. Be part of live audience. Hear their takes on training camp. The team enjoy Fiddlehead beer specials with event support from Fiddlehead Brewing Company, all while digging into the best wings in Western New York. Get all the details now at WGR550.com. You said you might have a Let's Get Stupid on the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's Let's Get Stupid. I believe it. I think Jerry Jones is doing this on purpose to keep the Cowboys in the media stream.
I have a Let's Get Stupid for the Rivalries uniforms and a Buffalo theme that we
it
have
better
not.
Not be. There's one I'm thinking of that I've seen people say, and it just better not be one idea.
I don't think you've thought of this. We'll find out.
Okay,
we'll get to that. More of your phone calls. Sean McDermott will carry that live. His camp opening presser at 9:15 this morning coming up here on WGR. Okay. Jerseys are in the news. Helmets are in the news. I got something for the Rivalries uniform. Ready?
Go ahead.
I forgot this existed, but it does. So when the Bills announced their jerseys, the helmets, the red helmets yesterday, I saw a tweet from Jason, a listener. And also, Jason's our hot dog of the day source down at the arena. He's the one that always tells me the hot dog of the day.
Nice.
He wrote, red helmets, get them from the alley. No, that's not enough. If they play poorly, it would be like the red jersey, white pants game. They should never wear it. He's saying, like, whatever, all I care about is a silver trophy. And finished with, they can play in plaid. Plaid? Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Don't.
Joe, are you familiar with Buffalo plaid?
I am.
Buffalo plaid is a real thing?
I am.
A checkered pattern? Let's get stupid. The rivalry's uniforms are Buffalo plaid.
Is that really our Buffalo, though?
It's called Buffalo plaid.
It's called Buffalo plaid, but no one would ever associate Buffalo plaid with Buffalo, New
York. Until the Bills start wearing it. We can just claim that Buffalo plaid.
You could.
It's roots traced to Scotland and England. Whatever. It's called Buffalo plaid.
I think if you're doing Buffalo plaid, it's got to be a Christmas game.
Red and black, Buffalo check shirt, Buffalo plaid. A symbol of American ruggedness and the outdoors. Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Let's have it.
It's got to come on Christmas. That's Christmas pattern style.
It kind of does look a little Christmassy. Yeah, you're right.
Give me that. I thought you were about to say chicken wing design or something.
No, that's insane.
I've seen that a couple of times. Like, do what the Bisons do. Like, the Bisons play in AAA baseball.
They should wear Buffalo.
The NFL, Bisons, no one in the NFL should be doing, like, we're the Buffalo Wings for the day in the National Football League. I would take Buffalo plaid over that. How about Buffalo plaid just in the numbers? Christmas-themed jersey and it's Buffalo plaid in the numbers. The problem is they're being worn early in the season, though, right?
Probably. Jeremy and Joe on WGR, Josh Schmidt back producing, Owen back in studio as well, running the chat feed. How's things back there, guys? You miss us? I mean, what's it like? Is it quiet over there? Anything going on? We
missing anything? Weird not seeing you guys. Talking, like looking in the other room and not seeing the conversation.
There's nothing going on.
It's an adjustment. It's an adjustment for sure.
Yeah, it's a little odd. I've got Derek sitting where you normally sit right now, Jeremy. He's sitting in there prepping for his show, and it's a little different in here today.
Yeah.
I had Owen like kicking his feet up in the studio. He's got popcorn.
It has been the
He's
exact
watching movies on the TV.
Costanza's in Steinbrenner's office.
Yes,
Owen's going crazy in his little box over there. He's going nuts, doing all sorts of stuff with the stream.
They're cabling up for Sean McDermott's opening press conference here, coming up at 9:15. We'll carry that live for you. We'll carry McDermott live today. I think Joe Brady maybe tomorrow. Maybe Bobby Babich on Friday. You know, we'll keep you up to date on these and carry as many as we can.
Very quickly, do you have any memory of the last time the Buffalo Bills wore a red helmet?
No.
You know when they changed?
No.
2011 was the first season they went back to the white helmets.
Okay.
So the end of the 2010 season.
Okay, that's the what year? What did they finish?
They finished at 4-12.
Okay, so the last game of that season
started 0-8.
Okay. Is it on the road?
It's on the road.
Is it in Miami?
No. New York.
The Jets.
A road finale against the Jets. They had four wins going into that game.
It was right after they beat Miami on the road then. Because I was at a game in Miami where they won on the road in a 4-12 season.
Let's see. The Bills that year, they beat the Dolphins in week 15.
Okay.
Two weeks prior.
They finished against the Jets. Is that the Cardale Jones game?
No, this is earlier than that. This is Chan's last game.
Chan's last game.
Where he says after the game or after he gets fired that this is the one team I've worked for that I'll root for. The Bills lost 38-7 to Rex Ryan's Jets.
I got nothing on that game.
I don't remember a single thing about it. It's the last. Brian Brohm threw 23 passes.
Oh, there you go.
Went 10 of 23 for 106 and 3 interceptions. Levi Brown of the Bills went 2 for 3 for 24 yards and a pick.
What a year.
No, actually,
you know what? Get rid of the helmet.
All right, let me look.
Don't bring him back.
I'm going to look this up in the break. I think Levi Brown is the last Bill to throw a pass with a red helmet on. I'm going to look that up.
Press conference, when it gets started, scheduled about 9:15. We'll carry that for you, and we're coming right back from training camp here on WGR.